Welcome to Pocket Fiction by Steve Cook. Soma Core, a short story. I woke up at the end of a long shift, feeling more tired than ever. The grey walls of my cubicle, dimly lit, made me feel like I was in some sort of cocoon, and I swung my legs out of the chair. Every muscle ached, and I rubbed my stiff neck ruefully. Why had I let Bob talk me into taking extra shifts this week? It wasn't healthy. But it pays the bills, a cynical part of me said. I grabbed the tablet off the small plastic table, the only other furniture in my cell, and opened the timesheet app. I tapped awake and pressed send, heard the click as the little red clock at the end of my chair went back to zero. 16 hours sleep logged, so that some other rich bastards didn't have to at all. My sleep time seamlessly fed into their brains, while microbes scrubbed the toxins from their neurons. You heard stories about what people did with it, myths shared over a pot of the vile decaf they served in the prep room. The president, prime minister, whoever, didn't sleep at all, of course. They had dedicated sleepers in the basement of the White House or under 10 Downing Street. There were CEOs, big money men who paid dearly to only have to sleep 2 or 3 hours a night. Pilots were allocated time off the government allowance. It all added up, and now sleepers made up a growing percentage of the world's workforce. The screen of the tablet flashed red and made a small pinging noise. I slapped at it quickly, desperate not to disturb the sleep of the 100 or so men and women in the sleep room. The screen switched to a message. Report to Robert Witt, ASAP. I frowned. To risk disturbing the entire sleep cycle, whatever Bob wanted to say to me must be important. I clicked the tablet off, tucked it under my arm, and stood up. My spine clicked as I straightened, deliciously painful, and I moved off between the cubicles. It was dark, of course, but there was enough light to see my way, and to see into each of the little grey padded cells. Every one the same, most containing a person asleep on their somno chair, the little red clocks blinking. The entire atmosphere was a calming one, the only light ambient, and the little hum of the air conditioning added just enough white noise to soothe and not annoy. My feet, clad only in socks, made no noise on the heavy carpet, and I passed through the glass doors into the locker room. 5 minutes later, shooed and with a cup of coffee in hand, the real stuff this time, I knocked on Bob's door. He gestured me in, all his attention on the tablet on his desk. But as I sat down in the big leather chair opposite him, he switched his smile on, as fake as ever.
"Richard, good to see you up and around," he said. "How's the coffee?"
"Same as ever," I said, and took a sip. "Needs real milk."
"Yeah, we're working on it. The delivery team are still on strike, I'm afraid."
He waved his hands dismissively, and I took a moment to look at how fresh he appeared. No bags under his eyes. He looked perhaps 25, which is a clever trick when you're nearly twice that. But it was common knowledge that, as a company, we were raking it in. Sleep displacement was big business. The big smile was still in place.
"How's your daughter?"
"We still don't talk, if that's what you mean," I said guardedly. Ellen had stormed out when I'd pointed out that her new boyfriend had a record as long as my arm. I tried to contact her, of course, but these days it was so easy to disappear. "It's been 10 years. She's a grown woman, and can go her own way," I said.
"Of course, of course," he replied. "Well, I'm glad you're here."
"What's up?"
"We've got a new client, and there's a chance for promotion, Richard. Now, I've been reviewing your record. I can't take extra shifts, if that's what you're looking for.
I'm already only getting the minimum amount of waking hours." Bob shook his head and picked up a tablet.
"No, no, this is different. You see, this client is quite an influential one, and has encouraged a rethink, shall we say, of our working contracts."
He consulted the tablet, the screen reflecting in his little designer glasses.
"Now, you've never been late, never had a day off. Frankly, I think you're ideal for this promotion. That kind of dedication is..."
"Get to the point, Bob," I said wearily. The problem with sleep displacement was that the worker didn't get most of the benefit from the sleep, and I was aching for an hour's nap on my sofa at home.
"Fair enough. We'd like to offer you a place as one of our comasomas." He fluttered his hands again. "It's one of those silly terms that marketing came up with, but what it really means is that we're changing the way people think of comas, from negative to positive.
I frowned. You want to induce a coma in me?
Sure. The pay is significantly better than you're on. Shifts are longer, of course. A month on, a week off.
Sounds dangerous. Bob spun the tablet round to show me the screen. The SomaCore logo was in the top left, and the rest of the screen was filled with a graph. There was no labelling, no key. The line plummeted frighteningly low, dragged along the bottom, and then skyrocketed at the end.
Of course not. The science bods assure me they can bring you back no problem. You'll never even know that the time's gone. You'll just wake up a month older and get a week off. Like one long holiday.
I shook my head. People don't wake up from comas all the time, Bob. It still sounds dangerous. He smiled, a sleeker smile this time, like a shark closing for the kill, and tapped a button on the tablet. A number appeared on the screen. Right, I said. So?
Monthly, he said.
I licked my lips and looked at the screen again. It was a hefty figure, hazard pay. I could pay off my debts, put a bit aside for Ellen, maybe make contact with her again. Go visit. Who's the client?
Well, that's neat to know only, Richard. You know how it is.
Bob took the tablet back and placed it on the desk with a click.
Now, you don't have to make a decision right away. Take a while. Sleep on it.
He smirked at his own joke. I swirled the last of my coffee around in the little polystyrene cup, thought better of drinking it, and placed it on his desk. What the hell? Sign me up.
Fantastic, Bob said, getting up and coming round the desk.
I rose and grasped his outstretched hand in a firm shake.
I'll get the contract mailed to you as soon as possible.
He looked me in the eye, still holding my hand.
Congratulations, Richard. This is the sort of opportunity you can only dream about.
Ass, I thought. I double-checked the address on the email, then read it through again. Dear Ellen, it began. An outpouring of regret that would have been sickening had it not been honest. I hoped she could see that. I'd listed her as my next of kin in case something went wrong. I pressed send before I could talk myself out of it. The bed was waiting for me, though it was more a table or a hospital gurney. Several devices with blinking lights were built into it, and an IV drip hung down from a tall pole. Bob was there, talking quietly with a man in a white coat. I'm ready, I said, handing the tablet back to Bob. How does this work?
For you, it's simple, Bob said. You lie there. Jeff here will inject you with a mild sedative, and then these machines will start to give out a signal that affects your brainwaves. You'll be held in a state of unconsciousness until they're switched off, basically.
Sounds like something from an old sci-fi film, I said, forcing a smile. My hands shook slightly. All right, then. I swung myself up onto the table and lay down, trying to get comfortable.
See you in a while, Bob said, as I felt the small sting of a needle in my arm.
The world began to go hazy, pinkish around the edges, and I saw Bob and the technician moving around the bed. My nose itched, and I went to scratch it, but it was like my hands were made of lead. He's almost out, I heard the tech say.
No, I'm not, I wanted to scream. I can still hear you. Good stuff. Any problems? With the farm, I mean.
Bob's voice was anything but friendly now, all business. No. We had a death this morning, but we think we know why. Machine error. It was one of the early ones, too. I think his clock said 3 years and some change. 3 years, I thought. Wait, what? A month on, a week off, I was told.
Well, we've got a replacement right here, at least, Bob said. Keep him with the others. Should his eyes be open like that?
Oh, that happens sometimes, the tech said. He's not awake. I'll close them in a minute, don't worry. Don't want them drying out.
Good. Well, I'll leave you to it.
I felt the gurney being moved, watched the strip lights overhead come in and out of my view. I couldn't move my head, but in my peripheral vision I could see beds, endless rows of beds on every side. Each one was like mine, with an IV, a few little screens, and a person, asleep. No, I thought, not asleep. Every one had a clock at the end of it, by the person's feet. It counted days, weeks, months, years, and none of them showed less than 2 months. I panicked, desperately trying to sit up, claw at myself, lurch off the bed, but my body did nothing. In the prison of my own head, I screamed and thrashed around, but it was no use. The gurney came to a rest, my place in amongst the nearly dead, and I saw the tech tap a few things on his tablet. Then he looked down at me and tutted. "I'm not asleep," I wanted to yell. "Don't do it!" Then he reached down and carefully, almost lovingly, closed my eyelids and left me in darkness. I heard his footsteps walk away, and then there was only the quiet ambient hum of the machines droning on and the sound of 100 people drawing long, slow breaths.